Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you. Yay.
We did Gideon, we did Zachary's 6 month birthday just recently. Hard to believe that kid already 6 months old. Anybody have an anniversary? Okay, not you. I heard that. Okay. Mom and Dad are all for that. Okay. Well, let's pray, and then we'll open our Bibles together. Thank you, Father. This is such a good time with your people. Pray that you would bless the word this morning and help it to bless us and to feed us, our spirits, and open our eyes to understand you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 12, and then right after that we're going to look at Acts chapter 21. So if you want to find them both, go ahead. 1 Corinthians 12, just the beginning of the chapter there, verse 4. Visit this briefly. I want to continue talking about giftings, and today I'm going to talk about, I'm just going to call it real life prophetic. After we read just a little bit, I just want to chat with you, really, about how would you minister to somebody using prophetic gifts? What does it look like? How do you hear from God? What would you do with it when you hear? And just kind of how we can minister to each other and to those others that God had put in our lives in a positive and effective way using prophetic giftings. So what do I mean by prophetic giftings? That's why we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each, one for profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a word of knowledge, the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. There are some types of gifts, and what I'm going to tell you now is not Bible, it's just vocabulary. When you hear someone say prophetic gifts, when you hear somebody say, sometimes they'll use the power gifts as a phrase, I want you to know what we're trying to communicate. If you look at the first two, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then skip down in verse 10, the word prophecy. Those three, I tend to, and this is something I made up, I heard it from others, tend to call those the prophetic gifts. Why do I call it that? It's because God is sharing with somebody something they wouldn't have known otherwise. A word of knowledge is something that God shares with someone that maybe it's about somebody else, maybe it's about some other circumstance. You could have a word of knowledge that reveals the condition of a church in another country, for example, and you can pray into that. So it's a circumstance, it's something about somebody that you wouldn't have known otherwise. The word of wisdom I tend to think of as a supernatural revelation of what to do. Word of knowledge is just something to know, it's a fact, and the word of wisdom is more of a what to do. The Bible tells of, who was it, Philip the Apostle, that was one thinking about praying about where to travel next, and the Spirit came to him and says, go south. Word of wisdom. It's just, that's where you go. And may or may not have come with that explanation, but it's what to do. Sometimes you get these about what do I do in a particular circumstance when I have to make a decision. You're looking for a supernatural ability to understand what to do. And prophecy is classically telling about what is going to happen to someone, or perhaps what God would like to happen in their life. That's what I'm talking about, the prophetic gifts of those three things. Prophets. Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets are not the same. Old Testament relationship between God and us isn't the same as New Testament relationship between God and us. There was the veil in the temple. There was the office of the priest and the prophet. And when Jesus came and he he died, the veil is torn, the relationship between God and us now has the priest and the prophet removed out of their old roles. What was the role of the priest? The priest was to talk to God on behalf of the people, and the role of the prophet was the other way, to talk to the people on behalf of God. So the two of them together made the telephone, right? Sort of the communication, and they were, in a formal way, sort of in between. You listened to the prophet because they had God's word for you, and that's the way he communicated in the Old Testament. So there was an authority coming from that word that we don't see in a New Testament, because now the priest and the prophet are out of the way, and we are relating to God. And to God, we are all peers. And so that you don't have the prophet sitting in between. So it's really important to understand, when we're talking about prophetic ministry, to understand what you are not trying to do. Unfortunately, a lot of people still today have the Old Testament prophet view. When you start trying to minister to them in the prophetic, they are seeing you as, oh, I'm supposed to listen to them like God's speaking to me. Well, he might be, he might not be, but you're not supposed to treat them that way. And if you recognize somebody putting you in that place, make sure you help them understand that's not what you're doing. Because it's not going to be good for them. And also, we need to remember ourselves as we're ministering that we are ministering as side by side to somebody that's looking at the same God. Two people side by side looking at the same God. And this is a really, to me, is a useful analogy, you know, of the two brothers looking at the same Father. It's prophetic. The reason that I care about what God tells you about me is because I understand that you might see something from Father that I didn't see. And I can get it in this kind of a communication. So when we're working in prophetic, and I'm talking to my brother or sister in Christ, it's, I think I see this in Father about you. And they might say, that's not what I see at all. And then I say, okay, I might be wrong. Because I don't get to get between them and God and say, no, that's what he said. It's, they're looking at God, I'm looking at God, I might see something that they don't. But if it doesn't confirm anything in them, then I could be wrong. We need to keep that kind of a humble attitude about how we are ministering. But when we have a good relationship with each other and we have a mature giftings of prophecies working, what will happen is I see something, I tell my brother or sister, I see this from God about you. And they say, oh. And they know how to deal with it and say, okay, I didn't know that before. That's interesting. And if it's confirming something within them, it may be very significant. If it's something they've never heard of before, they might set it aside and wait for something else to confirm it. But they're going to catalog all of this and put it together, and it helps them to hear more from God than they would have otherwise. Most of the examples that I have heard of or have seen of abuse in the prophetic come from misunderstanding this. The prophetic should never become controlling or manipulative. I should not be trying to make you do what I think you should do by telling you that God said for you to do it. It's an abuse of the spiritual gifting. That's never our place. Even if we believe really strongly that we really know what God wants them to do, if they don't want to do it, it's not our place to get into an authority relationship with them or to try to be manipulative with it. We know, for example, to take this out of this context, we know, for example, it's God's will for everyone to come to know him as their Savior. But it is not our role to manipulate them into receiving him. Because if they don't receive him freely, then it isn't going to help them any. It's our role to try to open their eyes, to try to help them understand this is what God wants for you. The prophetic is not that much different. It's, if God really did show us something, how can I take this, what God is showing me, and use it to bless them and maybe open their eyes to see something about themselves they hadn't seen before? So with that as a kind of an introduction, let's look at Acts 21. This is one of the rare examples we have of prophetic gifting that's given to us in history. And in Acts chapter 21, we have this apparently a famous prophet that's going to be ministering to Paul. And there's some, I think this is a fascinating story to see how this is handled. This is way different than Old Testament prophecy, and I think it's a great example. In Acts chapter 21, verse 8, on the next day, we here is because it's Paul and who? His buddy that's writing this book? Luke. Yes. On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. So if you're wondering whether prophecy is a gift that was like supposed to be only for the men of the church, there you go. No, it was not a gift that was supposed to be just for the men of the church. It is for everyone. And they stayed many days. And a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. So he's not in the city. He came down specifically to see Paul. Now, Agabus, back in chapter 11 of Acts, had gave a prophecy which became very well known because he prophesied a famine that would come, that there was going to come a famine, and it did. And it listed in Acts chapter 11, this is what he said, this is what happened, and it was, you know, one of the stories of the early church. So, in verse 11, when he came to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own hands and feet and said, this is what we today would call a prophetic act. It's Jeremiah does these a lot. He goes and he does something in front of everybody and says, if you wonder why I just did that rather odd thing, it's because God has this message for you. So, it's something that he does for the purpose of bringing a prophetic word. And okay, so he wraps his hands and his feet in Paul's belt. And he said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt, meaning Paul, and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now when they heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when we had, when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. We ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. You got to put the comma in the right place. A couple of things. This idea that he was going to be taken into prison when he went to Jerusalem was not new to Paul. We know that because in the chapter before, when he's talking to the elders at Ephesus, he tells them, this is what I think is going to happen. So, first thing to know is this was not a new word to Paul, it was a confirming word. Confirming word means, I already suspected this, and now you just told me. The second thing I think is interesting is, what exactly did Agabus, the prophet, tell him? I think Agabus must have been a very mature prophet, the way this is written. What exactly did he tell him? Did he tell him, don't go to Jerusalem? He didn't. He told him, you're going to be bound when you go to Jerusalem. This is what they're going to do to you. And then everyone listened and said, oh no, we don't want this to happen to you. Please don't go. And he said, I already knew that was going to happen. And he went. Now, Agabus didn't do a Jeremiah on him. That is, watchman on the wall. God warned me that if you went, you were going to get put in prison. So now it's not on me, it's on you. If you go and you get put in prison, it's your fault. He could have done a heavy on him, but he didn't. He gave him the word, which was, and he knew where to quit. The word was, going to get bound. Going to get put in prison. That was the word. It wasn't, don't go. It would have been really tempting to say, because of this, you shouldn't go. I'm sure that's what God is saying. But he knew when to quit. And so everyone reacted to it emotionally that we don't want this to happen to you. Paul is like, that's an interesting, very interesting confirmation from the Holy Spirit. And I personally think it could have been encouraging to him because it's like the Holy Spirit saying, I know this is going to happen. I'm still with you. And this could have been a very powerful and encouraging time for him, even though the others in this meeting were reacting differently. So what the Holy Spirit told him was what was going to happen was Paul was not disrespecting the prophet by saying, I'm still going to go. And it wasn't taken that way. I think that at the statement at the end, so finally we stopped saying God's will be done. I personally don't think that means if it's God's will to put you in prison, then just let it happen. I think what that means is you believe that it's God's will for you to go. You need to do what you believe he's telling you to do. What God wants, that's what you should do. And so this to me is a great example of how the prophetic can be used, even though he's got what I would call a downer word. I think it could be, in the whole experience, it could be something that is uplifting, and only Paul is going to be able to know how to process this well. And it did not result in him telling, you know, Paul what to do. So that we are not Old Testament prophets, I hope, comes as a relief to you. We don't have to carry that heavy, and we shouldn't try. So let me talk to a minute about how to hear. I think one of the most common questions is, how do I hear anything from God? And so here's some ideas. Not everybody's going to hear the same way. And several of these ideas I'm going to give you, these aren't, you've got to do them all. These are different ways that you could hear. Here's one. Get alone, get quiet, so that you can listen. Stop trying to work it out in your brain, whatever it is you're focusing on in your prayer. Stop trying to work out the solution. Stop trying to think about what others are going to say about the various possible solutions. Stop thinking about the implications of it. Try to stop thinking about your own wishes or your own biases about it. Just stop thinking at all. Listen. And as you listen and you keep listening, evaluate what comes through your mind. Some of it is just clearly you again trying to work it out again. And just, you know, tell yourself to be quiet, be quiet, be quiet, and listen. And something will come that wasn't, it's kind of like out of nowhere. And that one, evaluate it. Is it biblical? Is it useful here? You know, could this be something from God? Because if it is from him, it's going to end up to be something that's edifying, encouraging, or exhorting. It's going to end up to be one of these three things. And so you're testing them as they come through. And that is one way to start building things that you think you might have heard from God. If you're not hearing anything, ask questions. I talk to God very plainly because he already knows what I think. And so I don't try to do it overly formal. but however you talk to him, ask him questions and then listen. My dad likes to say, ask a question and then note the next thing that comes into your head. And very often it is something from the Lord. I believe that we hear more things from the Lord than we actually recognize as being from him. And he is speaking to us. We are actually hearing it. We are just throwing it out as being us or as being whatever. And we don't realize we're hearing it. Second thing I have as a suggestion for you is watch for certain feelings in your spirit. I don't know how to describe this one in words, but I'll dive in and try it. I, because of my engineering background and math background, like to think of it in terms of resonance. You all hear a resonance when you hear the piano played or a guitar string played. If you take a guitar string and you tie it real tight at two ends, and then if you put sound across that, just sound across it that's at the right frequency, that thing will start vibrating and you'll hear it. After you take the sound away, the thing's still singing. Because it found this resonance frequency in that string, and it made it vibrate. Our spirits can act like that. When certain things happen that have some deeper meaning in the spirit, our spirits can react to it, and we just weren't expecting it. And that's what we need to be sensitive to. What does that feel like? It could feel deeply emotional. Okay, what could it be reacting to? It could be reacting to some word. It could be reacting to some thought. It could be reacting to whatever in your circumstance. But sometimes this feeling is just simply feels deeply emotional and unexpected. An image flashes in front of you, and you feel this. Trying to be careful because. Not all deeply emotional feelings are from the Holy Spirit, but it could be a hope rising up in you when you hear this, but you don't have any reason why that would be. With me, sometimes it's just I feel like crying. I don't know why I'm reacting to a certain thing that way, but I feel like crying. I mean, in the middle of a worship service, why is it that my spirit is reacting to this? It's just my spirit reacting to something. It could be even something that's physical, like a tingling that you feel, or something like that. That you can feel that is your spirit reacting to it. Watch for those kind of things that are unexpected. To me, it's like. I'm asking myself, why am I reacting to this? There's no reason I should be. And when I get to that place, I go back and ask God, is there something you're saying here that I'm missing? And very often I'll see the rest of the story when I do that, because at that point I don't have any idea why. When you listen. When you follow those kind of things, listen with your biblical parameter, with your biblical glasses on. Okay, as you're filtering these things that are coming to your mind, you need to be tied biblically. Don't think any more about any other thoughts that come into your mind that aren't biblical. It's just that's the way you process it as it comes through. As I was thinking about resonance, just had to add this one. You know, a guitar string, the connections at the end are like the biblical part of our life, as our biblical filter. If you have a guitar string that's only tied at one end, it just flaps. It doesn't sing. And so if we are not tied to our biblical foundation and filtering everything through the Word of God, we just flap. It's not going to do any use. When we get these gut feelings, is it from God or is it from the devil? It is true that gut feelings can be either one, but it is also true we can tell the difference. And people that have sorted through them often can tell it very quickly. With me, it's really simple. If it's accompanied by a deep sense of dread and doom, I know right off that one's not Holy Spirit, and that gets flushed. Throw that one away. That one's not Holy Spirit. I don't care what it was saying. Another thing, these chills of terror or hopelessness, those are not Holy Spirit. It doesn't usually do that. If you don't know, dig into God, go and talk to Him about it, and He won't lead you astray. Say, why is this, like I was saying before, why is this happening? Are you trying to tell me something? And he might just be no, and that's okay. But if you will lean into God when you feel the something going on in your spirit you don't understand. You will lean into God, then He will not lead you astray as you try to sort it out. Another way to hear from the Lord is to read the Scriptures and wait for something to react in your spirit. There's probably places in the Bible that are kind of your favorites, your go-to places when you want to hear from God. Just find a place like that and start reading until something really jars you, until something reacts in you that's God speaking, and then you can follow up with that in your prayer. It's with me, I'll be reading over, and a verse seems to be significant. I don't have any reason that I understood why it was significant. It just seemed to jump out. And it's like, okay, now I know what to pray into. I go and I ask the Lord, what is it you're saying to me through this? And I can follow it up. Watch for your spirit to react when someone else says something to you. Sometimes you're just going along in your daily life. I've been talking about kind of these quiet prayer times, but often our spirits will react to something just in our normal daily life. And watch for it then as well. It could be in a casual conversation. Somebody says something like, I was just thinking of so-and-so, our friend. I haven't seen her in 20 years. And something in our spirit reacts to that. And so, well, maybe this is God telling me I should contact that person. Maybe it's just, you know, as simple as that, that our spirit reacted to it because God is prompting us here. I'm ready to do something. Why don't you, you know, you contact that person. While you're listening to a message or reading a book, listening to a teaching, any of those things, the Holy Spirit can just cause your spirit to react and to resonate with something you hear. I have even had this happen when I'm watching a movie that's not a Christian movie at all. It's just something in the theme of that movie. I'm realizing, you know, like usually the next day, for some reason I can't forget this particular part of the theme of that movie, and I realize, is this something the Holy Spirit is trying to teach me from this movie? And I know that I can pray more into that and to find out what He's trying to say. Particularly keep your spiritual eyes and ears open during worship times. That's a real common time for Holy Spirit to put His words into our minds. Because we are focusing on God mentally and emotionally, spiritually, it's a prime time to hear from His heart. We're drawing close to Him and He's drawing close to us. And that's a common time for us to hear things. And so what I mean by that is thoughts that appear to come out of the blue or pictures that come. When I say pictures, for me, it's not something that I actually see. It's like an image, a mental image. Sometimes they're very detailed. I could actually draw this out. But it's not, to me, it's not, I see, but other people get to see stuff. I never got to see cool stuff. It's just got to think it. But God does work with different people in many different ways. Watch for unexpected emotional reactions while you're worshiping. Why am I all of a sudden, with me, it's why am I all of a sudden crying? With somebody else, why is it all of a sudden laughing? Or why is it all of a sudden I feel cautious or suddenly anxious? Or why am I all of a sudden seeing someone's face? Those kind of things to watch for are the sort of invitations from the Holy Spirit to dig deeper into something. Pay attention to your dreams. Holy Spirit speaks to us through dreams. It does tell us that in Acts. Acts chapter 2. Now, I'm not talking about the ones where you went to school in your pajamas. Put two different shoes on when and then discovered in the middle of a meeting or whatever. I'm talking about the ones that, you know, those odd ones that just seem like there was something more to it, but you can't figure it out. I think we often have to seek the Holy Spirit then again for what did that mean? I think in Bible times, they had that sense. Even unbelievers had that sense
that, you know, Pharaoh has this dream, or the king has this dream. He has this sense it means something, but he doesn't know how to get it, and he doesn't even have a relationship with God, and so he goes try to find these people that are spiritually in touch to tell him what his dreams mean. God still speaks to us in dreams, and it's the ones when you have no clue what they mean, but it seems like they mean something, that I'd like to dig into them more. Many times it has come up with a very rich meaning. Write them down if you don't understand it, you can go back to it later, and Holy Spirit will bring more to your mind. Next suggestion is don't be afraid to practice. You know what practice means? Practice means I'm going to do this even though I might not get it right. It's okay. There's ways to do this that we don't stomp all over other people and cause a lot of... I mean, people have practiced this over the years, and they've done really unwise things and caused a string of hurts and wounds. Now, that's not what I'm saying. When I'm saying it's okay to practice, I say we can learn from others' mistakes, and we can develop ways that we can find out whether we're hearing or we're not hearing without causing other people grief. In that parameters, it's a good thing to practice. Find out which of these voices you're hearing is really the Lord and which aren't. And sometimes you have to practice. That means sometimes we just ask somebody in a way that isn't a spiritual heavy. You know, something to the effect of, I was praying for you the other night, and I saw this. Does this mean anything to you? Now, this really depends very strongly on who you're talking to, how you're going to say this. You're talking to an unbeliever, what I just said might freak them out. But you could say it a different way. Let's say that you were praying for a coworker who's not a believer, and during the prayer time you just got this sense that there's something with their daughter where she's not healthy or she's struggling or something in their working, and you don't really know what it is, but you feel like there's something God wants to work there. Well, rather than saying, I think God told me your daughter has a problem, you can go to them and say, how's it going with your family? And when they say, you know what, you know, my daughter's in the hospital, then you say, ah, that one was God. That's what I mean by practice. And then probably the next time you get one of those, you may be a little bit more bold, a little more confident as you go into the conversation. We can practice in a group of people like this, where we all understand that we're working and growing in the prophetic, and have a little more liberties with how we would say things. You can, if you're working with your brothers and sisters in the Lord, where everyone understands that you don't think you're perfect and that you're still growing, and that you want to know if this was from God, you can say things quite openly, like, "I was praying for you, and I saw this picture. Does this mean anything to you? Or I heard this name." This whatever, and does it mean anything to you? When someone asks you that, be honest with them. Not mean, but honest. Because they're not going to learn what is Holy Spirit and what isn't Holy Spirit if you're always feeling like you've got to tell them, that was really, really something when it wasn't. It's okay for them to ask and you to say, no, I don't really know of anything that means right now. That's okay for both of you. They're learning. And we're not ever going to develop in prophetic if we don't allow people to try and allow people the grace to try to hear the Holy Spirit and get it right or get it wrong. We can do the whole thing in a way that is respectful and is kind. And you can do it in a way that, I don't know how to say this, but it's not weird. We understand and we believe Holy Spirit speaks to us. And we also understand that sometimes it's hard to figure out what's Him and what's us. And we can work through that and help each other to learn to hear from the Holy Spirit. And we can talk to each other in normal tones, in normal ways, as we learn to hear from the Holy Spirit. When we hear something, I think we should ask ourselves two questions. First one, where did it come from? Did it come from God? Did it come from me? Those are probably the most common two ones. We, I think, rarely hear from the devil and thought it was God. Because we'll learn to recognize the chilling feeling on our spine. Or to recognize that it's blatantly unbiblical. Learn it to, you know, do our best to separate that. Was it God or was it me? Where'd it come from? And the second one is, what do I do with it? Because to go to the person that it was about and to tell them all of what you heard and only what you heard and then just say, now it's your responsibility to do with it whatever, is probably the worst idea that I can think of. That's where all of the confusion comes. Because actually, I think he put the prophetic is a ministry tool. That I mean, our goal in giving someone a word, a prophetic word, is to build them up in the Lord. If we think about what we just heard, and think if I say exactly what I heard, it's not going to make their day better. It's not going to draw them closer to the Lord, or I'm not, you know, it's not going to help them. Then I'm not going to deliver it exactly the way I heard it. I'm going to seek the Lord for what? Okay, what else do I need to know here? How? What do you want me to do with this, what I have just heard from you? When a prophetic word is done well, it will result in what 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's going to result in these things. Edification, we talked about last week when we talked about tongues. It's the building up someone. Talk about making the valley grow. Finding it finds the seeds that are in them and it makes them grow. I love the way Chris Vallotton talks about this. He talks about searching for the gold in people. It will bring out the gold that God sees in their lives and brings it out and makes it grow. That's what edification, building up, does. Comfort. I don't know what else to say about that word. It will bring them comfort. Calm them and make them more equipped to deal with what they're going to have to deal with. Exhortation is a word that's hard to know exactly. It can mean different things in English. I looked up this word in Greek and I was interested to see that this is parakletos. Parakletos, for those of you who've studied Holy Spirit, know that paraclete is actually the word that's used for Holy Spirit. And particularly, it's used for Holy Spirit when it's usually when it's translated the Comforter. When I go, the Comforter will come. That's the same word here. So, exhortation in this particular word for exhortation does not have the harsh edge that sometimes we see exhortation used in English. It can be used different ways, but this particular word, it doesn't have that harsh edge where I'm rebuking you or that type of a thing. It's more of a drawing you towards God. Holy Spirit, when he is doing this to us, is drawing us towards the Father. It is enticing them to do the right things. So remember these purposes is the end that you want to accomplish when you minister in the prophetic. So some practical questions. Should I say it just because I heard it? No, why would you want to do that? I guess is my answer. It may not be that it's supposed to be delivered to them. It may have been for you to know how to pray for them. It may have been for many reasons. But no, I didn't. I know it sounded really trivial when I said it, and I don't really mean it that way, because many people believe they are obligated to do that. Because I heard a word, because I heard a word about you, I have to tell you. No, you don't. I think there's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do, or he wouldn't have told you that, but you don't have to tell them what you heard about them. Don't feel obligated that you have to do that. Ask the next question, what do I do with this? Should I say, God says? You don't have to. In a group like a group that has been around the prophetic a lot, they know that just because you said God says this doesn't mean he did. And so they're not, you know, very often they're not troubled by it. Other people are. So it depends on your audience, I think. I mean, it doesn't bother me for someone who, because there's cultures in this. Some people, when they minister in prophetic, they always say, God says this, or thus saith the Lord, or whatever. And then they go on and it's beautiful word from God. It doesn't bother me because I understand that they understand. They're not speaking Bible. They're speaking what they think God said. It is okay with me. It's not okay with everybody. And it just depends on who you're ministering to and whether that is terrifying to them or not, or whether that is something that throws up the warning signs to them and they're not going to listen to you. So you don't have to. And if it, in some cases, it's less awkward if you don't. But for people that have been that way, it doesn't bother me. Does that make sense? You shouldn't feel like you have to say it that way. Instead, it's often more comfortable to say something like, I feel like God is saying. I think Valerie this morning when she gave the word, I was praying for you, and I felt the Lord saying, or heard the Lord saying, and other things like that are very common. Some real life, not real life, these aren't real life, these are made up. But some examples, some very practical examples. Let's get even more practical than what I just did. Let's say you're praying and you hear about somebody else. This person is under attack by Satan, under attack by their circumstances. They're down and they're feeling bad, and it's actually going to get worse. So, again, to me, the worst thing you could do is go tell them that and just have a good day. Just, you know, that's what God said. I'm just delivering a letter. just the postman here. Why are you not going to do that? Why am I not going to do that? Because they are going to be depressed. They're not going to be encouraged or comforted. So what I would do with that is I would press into the Lord some more. First thing, I would pray for them. God, they're really going through it. Bless them. Give them strength. Give them courage. As I'm praying for them, I'm going to listen for the rest of it. And maybe God will come with more. Like, you know, actually, this is going to be one of the best years of their life. They just don't know it. I'm going to put people in their life that are going to fight for them. I'm going to give them strength they've never seen before. Or something like this starts to come. Okay, now I've got something that's going to exhort, that's going to edify and comfort. And I go to them and I'll say something, because I'm wanting to know if all this was from God. I'll say something like, how is your life going? How's it going? In a way that maybe they'll feel comfortable to answer. And if they start to say something about their difficulties, then I could... Victoria was talking to me about this morning, and she's really got a really good point. Let me see if I can explain it. As they start to tell you, as you start to realize that the word you heard was God, you have an opportunity to build their faith if you will tell them the rest of it before they tell you. Okay? You don't have to do that, but you have an opportunity to build their faith, because if you let them say all of it, and then you say, you know what, I already heard that. Well, okay, if I believe you, then that helps. But to hear them say it before you said it is going to build their faith. So you have that opportunity. But you don't always want to do that. You have to consider your audience, and you really have to let the Holy Spirit lead you. Because you could do harm in what you say, too. So there's that opportunity as you start to see the eyes get big, as you start to see that, yeah, actually what I heard was right. You could say, you know what? Before you go on, I want to tell you a word that I heard. You can do that if it's the right time, or you could just let them talk. And then you can tell them, here's the rest of what I heard. I kind of sensed that as I was praying for you. Here's the rest of what I feel God was saying. And when you get done with that, they should feel ready to tackle the world. Because that's what God wanted to happen. He wanted to build them up because they were going to go into a hard time. He didn't want them to feel like the other shoe is going to drop at any time, right? Because that wouldn't be the way the Holy Spirit works. I'm praying for somebody and I hear a name. I see a picture of a place. Or I just see something like this that I don't recognize. I would do this kind of thing you've heard of often, would be, does this mean anything to you? Because if I've tested the spirits and for whatever reason I think this was really something from God, but I don't have any idea what it means. I say, does this mean anything to you? And then kind of watch where the Holy Spirit leads from there. Because it might be no. In that case, we don't have anywhere to go really. But it might be, yeah, actually that person is an aunt of mine. Okay. Do you get along well? How is she with the Lord? Have you seen her recently? And then watch what develops out of that. Listen to the Spirit, and you're just going to have to let the Spirit lead you. But why did you get a word like that? Because the Holy Spirit wanted to do something about that circumstance. That's why you heard it. You know, you've seen healing ministers that work through a word of knowledge type of a model, but they'll say, I sense someone in here has got trouble in their left knee, and maybe they'll be more specific, and then someone says, oh, actually, that's me. Why the word of knowledge? Because the Holy Spirit is ready to do something, and recognizing, when that person recognizes that the Holy Spirit showed somebody else their condition, they also realize Holy Spirit's ready to do something, and it builds their faith. That's why he's doing it. So, as the Lord is showing you this circumstance, it could be he wants to do something with that, but you don't know what it is. So that's why you're probing and you're asking questions about the circumstance to try to see what it is that God wants to do. Remember, as you're doing this kind of a prophetic ministry, you don't have any right to probe any deeper than they feel comfortable talking about. Just because you heard it doesn't mean you have a right to know why it was important. If it's like, oh, yeah, that's, but I don't feel like talking about it. Okay, I just feel like God is ready to do something there, and I'll pray. I'm fine praying for you, not knowing what it's about. Treating someone just with that normal respect that we would always treat them, I think is always important in prophetic ministry. Here's one. What if as I'm praying, I see a particular young man and a particular young woman who aren't seeing each other together as a couple? I could go to the young man and say, I think God's telling you to marry her. But that might not be the most productive thing to do, especially if neither he nor her had ever thought of that. What I would do, again, is look for the rest of this message. And I wanted to use this kind of a picture as an example of sometimes we got part of a picture right and part of a picture wrong. I'm making this all up, okay, so I'm not saying that I've ever had this right. I'm just making this up and using this one as an example. Let's say that your spirit correctly received that this young man was going to meet a young woman and they were going to get together. But you mistakenly put the wrong face because of your own biases or for whatever reason. And so the correct part of the word was that he's going to get to, that God's going to bring someone in his life, and it might be incorrect, the person. Do you see how that could possibly happen? How we could like add our own little tag onto what God was saying and not even realize that we've done it. So what I would do with something like that is pray for more and maybe ask him whether he's thought of seeing anybody, whether he's thought of searching for a wife recently. If he says no, well, maybe God is ready to bring someone in your life. Maybe you should pray into that. So even if the picture I got was exactly right, it still may not be the right thing to say it. And when it comes later, and the two actually do get married because you were right about what the picture you saw, then you can tell them at the toast in their wedding, and you'll be a hero because you'll still be the best man because she'll still like you. If you tell him that and it turns out that he gets married to someone else, I'll guarantee you she won't like you and you won't be best man at that wedding. Just an example of how, you know, part of what you got might be right and part of it might be wrong, or you know how to deal with that kind of a thing. Praying for somebody and you get a sense that they're depressed. This is another tough one to know what to do with, because going to them and saying, "Hi, you seem depressed," is probably not going to help them. Or, "Hi, I was praying with you and God revealed to me that you're depressed," is probably not going to help them. What do you think I'm going to do now that I've gone through these other examples? I'm going to pray and ask, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't know what to do with this because I can't go yet. I don't have the rest of it. You could, if you're talking to them, just ask them and see if they want to talk about anything and see where that leads. You could pray more for the rest of the story. One of the suggestions that Victoria mentioned that I really liked is sometimes she'll just say, as she's praying into it, she senses that the Holy Spirit wants her to say, to speak into their life the opposite of what they're going through. I sense that coming for you is a time of real joy. Now, you're not just, recognize you're not just saying this off the cuff. You're not just saying it because you wish it. You'd be saying it because you really believe that's God's word for them right then. Why would it be that God's word for them right then? Because they need it. And that would be a good way to do something with that word. In the end, you have to ask the Holy Spirit each time, what do I do with this to use this that you gave me in a way that's going to minister to them, because that's what prophetic ministry is all about. I'm going to build them up. I'm going to encourage them. I'm going to comfort them. I'm going to bring them something good from the Holy Spirit. What if Holy Spirit shows you sin in somebody's life? What does the Holy Spirit do with sin? What's his role? The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, right? Conviction of sin brings someone, is drawing them towards repentance. So the Holy Spirit will draw you from the sin to repentance, because in the place of repentance, you find reconciliation with God. So whatever we're going to do with that, it's that pull. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does with it. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. The difference, what I mean by the difference is, condemn means you've done a terrible thing, I'm not sure what you're going to do about it, because you're probably not going to recover whatever. There's going to be consequences. And the kind of thing that ends with, it's a bad day, is the condemning approach. But a conviction is going to bring someone to the point of repenting. Maybe this is a personal preference, but I personally like that the dialogue would go between the one ministering and the one that they're ministering to in a way that they would see if the one that they're ministering to wants to say it themselves. How are you feeling spiritually? How's it going? And do you have a good relationship with God? Do you feel that it's close? You know, is it going well? Well, not really. Do you know why? See if they want to talk. If they really don't want to talk, then it isn't necessarily our place to pry. I don't think. Even if your word was right. I know of people that have done it different, but I don't think it's necessarily our a role to pry into it, but to draw them towards God. Why am I saying how is your relationship with God? Because the Holy Spirit wants to draw them towards Himself. Get them to think about their relationship. And if they don't want to talk about it, then they don't want to talk about it. I'm going to go away, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray that God would open up another place that I could talk to them. Maybe they're okay with talking to me. Maybe they want to renew a friendship with me. Okay, that's good. We can keep talking. But I'm not going to jump in between them and God and say, well, God says to you, if you don't stop doing this, He's going to break your fingers. Or whatever. I'm not going to jump over there and do this kind of heavy-handed controlling thing. I'm going to keep drawing them towards God. And if I can in any way minister to them, I'm going to do that. Rather than coming out with exactly what I heard. So there's all my practical tips for today. I hope this is useful. What is prophetic ministry for? It's a ministry. It's a ministry like praying for somebody for healing. It's a ministry like praying for somebody for a spiritual release from bondage, or praying for somebody to be released from demonic oppression. It's a ministry, the same type of a thing. I'm wanting to draw them towards the Lord. It is for exhorting, for edifying, and for encouraging. How do you hear? Lots of different ways. Went through it, and everybody's a little different. I think some people, if they try to do the get quiet approach, they don't hear anything. And they hear better, just go clean the house. Go do your regular work. Valerie's nodding at me, because that's the way it is with Valerie. She's like, if she's trying to sit there and listen, it's like they're not going to hear nothing. But she'll go up and clean the house, and oh, there it comes. So people are different. However God speaks to you, do that and keep your spiritual ears and eyes open. What do I do when I hear? Ask myself where it came from and then ask God what to do with it. And then deliver it in a style, in a ministry style, where the important thing is that they come away from whatever you're giving them encouraged and uplifted and closer in their relationship to God than when you started. So let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have put people in our lives that can see things about you, that can hear things from you that we don't. And I pray that you would use all the people in our lives to speak into our world, to help us to see you better. I pray that you would help this body and this group develop in prophetic ministries of words of knowledge, of wisdom, and prophetic words. I pray that you would help us to hear and understand you better, to build each other up as we learn and we grow in it, and to be able to effectively minister to people that don't know you with words from your Holy Spirit as well. I pray that you would bless our mealtime today and our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.